David was a man after God's own heart, and he served the purpose of God in his own generation. Join Reverend I.T. Matura as he does a study of the life of David and teach practical biblical lessons. Get ready to be empowered and equipped by the Word of God.
Greetings, saints. You have done well to connect to the study of the life of David. We continue on the journey of the study of the life of David. Last week we were looking at lesson 1 of chapter 2, which looks at the escape of David, and we looked at David escaping and receiving divine protection from God. In lesson 1, we see Jonathan intervening on his behalf and talking to Saul, his father, who wanted to kill David, and asked his father why he wanted to do such an evil thing to a young man who had brought victory to Israel by killing Goliath. And so then makes a pledge to his son that you surely not kill David and preserve his life. But after some time, Saul changes his mind and he throws a spear at David as he's playing the harp. So David had to flee again, and his wife Michal had to assist him when soldiers were sent to watch over his house to kill him whenever he came out. And Michal had to pretend that David was sick while she had let him out through a window and he had escaped. And when they later realized it was too late, David had run away. So we see here two people that helped David, his friend Jonathan and his wife Michal. He flees to Prophet Samuel. And last week we looked at the importance of maintaining relationships with key people. And Prophet Samuel offers him refuge. And while he's there, the divine presence of God is watching over him. King Saul sends soldiers there to try and capture him. But each time they got there, they would start to prophesy. Three bands of soldiers went and each had the same circumstance of ending up prophesying. And King Saul ended up saying, "Let me go by myself." And the same befell him when he got near to where David and Prophet Samuel were. He began to prophesy and he even ended up removing all his clothes, and God exposed his plan. And last week we ended saying, may God expose the plans of those that want to destroy you or attack you. May any demonic plan of the enemy be exposed by God. May you be protected in the presence of the living God. So we continue today as we look at lesson 2, which is Jonathan releases David to leave the palace. That's under 1 Samuel chapter 20. We are going to do an overview of this chapter and look at 4 sections in the overview. Then we'll look at 5 lessons that we draw out of this chapter. So get your notebook, get your Bible. Let's get ready to get into the Word of God. Now, from verse 1 to verse 13, we see that David flees to inform Jonathan. So David leaves Nahoth, where he was with Prophet Samuel at Ramah, and he comes to look for Jonathan, his friend, to tell him about his King Saul pursuing his life and trying to kill him. So when he gets to Jonathan, Jonathan is shocked because Jonathan is not aware of this. Actually, King Saul had made it a point to make sure that they don't inform Jonathan because he knew the friendship of Jonathan and David. So Jonathan is shocked and is not aware. And he says to David, if anything like that was being planned, I would have known about it. Then David assures him to say, I'm telling you the truth. This is what I've gone through. I had to escape and your father is trying to kill me. And he says to him, can you go and verify yourself? So they come up with a plan to see Saul's position. So he says, I will not come for supper and my chair will be empty. When your father discovers that I am not there, his response is going to tell you whether he is happy or he is not. 1 Samuel 20 verse 7 says, if he says thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Verse 18, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it to thee and send thee away. that thou may go in peace, and the Lord be with thee as he has been with my father. So Jonathan assures David that if I discover that my father has this plot to kill you, surely I will release you to go, and that you may go in peace, and that the Lord may be with you. So you see here, David honored his friendship with Jonathan. He did not just want to escape without talking to Jonathan first. And Jonathan there says, once he discovers the truth, he will then release David. Now from verse 14 to verse 23, Jonathan covenants with the house of David. Now this is very important, because earlier we see Jonathan covenanting with David, but this time he takes it a step further to covenant with the house of David. Verse 6:15 says, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever, no, not when the Lord has cut off the enemies of David, everyone from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. So you see that here Jonathan, who perceives the future, makes a covenant with the house of David. And he says that the house of David should not cut off kindness towards the house of Jonathan. So it's no longer just about Jonathan and David, but he says even those that are of the house of David. So this house is going to be the house of kingship. He says his sons and his son's sons should continue to show kindness to the house of Jonathan. That's why the Bible then says, and Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David. So when David covenants with the house of Jonathan, he represents generations after him. And Jonathan represents generations after him. And you see that here, this is the covenant that will speak on behalf of Jonathan's son Mephibosheth years later. When David says, is there not anyone from the house of Saul, of Jonathan, who is left, so that I may show him kindness? Says actually the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for the sake of Jonathan. And you see Mephibosheth, a crippled young man, receiving favor because of this covenant. What a powerful covenant, and what discernment that Jonathan had, so that he protected his descendants using this covenant. Jonathan then informed David of a plan on how you inform him of the message of the position of King Saul, so that he does not say it openly, because David had asked him, how will you let me know? And he then takes David to the field, and he shares with him to say, there is a way that we'll plan to make sure we know the position of the king. And he says, when I come back, I'll send you a message here in the field that will tell you the position of King Saul. Verse 23 says, and as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken, behold, the Lord be between thee and me forever. Again, you see Jonathan here cementing the covenant between the two of them. Now, Jonathan goes beyond. Here, his father is seeking to kill David, but Jonathan perceives the destiny of David, and he covenants with David. Now from verse 24 to verse 33, Saul is furious at the absence of David at the table. Jonathan goes back to the palace, and at dinner time, the chair of David is empty at the dinner table. So you see here that David had, in the past, he used to sit at the king's table. That's where he had been placed. So at supper time, you would sit, there was a chair for David. King Saul, Jonathan was there, and they would sit together. Abner, the army commander of Saul, would also sit at that table. So on this evening, David's chair is empty. That's the first evening. And Saul notices it, but he doesn't say anything. He just says, maybe something went wrong, you'll be here tomorrow. The next day, David is not there again on his chair. So King Saul then asks, where is David? And Jonathan responds and says, oh, sorry, my king, my father. David said that he had to rush to Bethlehem to sacrifice together with his father and brothers. There was an urgent matter where he had to sacrifice. And Saul becomes angry, and he fumes and shouts at Jonathan and says to him, don't you know that as long as David is alive, your throne will not be established? Your kingdom will not be established. What he was saying is, this young man David is a threat to you taking over as king. Don't you see it? So King Saul just saw David as a threat. That's why he could not see anything good in him. And then Jonathan responds to his father and said, what has David done wrong that you want to kill him? And Saul becomes even more furious, and he takes a spear, a javelin, and he throws it at Jonathan, trying to pin him or kill him with that spear. And there Jonathan realizes that the issue has gotten out of hand, and his father is really determined to kill David. Verse 33 says, and Saul cast a javelin at him and to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. This was the last. It really showed that Saul was determined to make sure David dies. The last section of this overview, verse 34 to 42, Jonathan warns David and releases him to go in peace. So when Jonathan realizes this, he's heartbroken. Verse 34 says, so Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did not eat nor meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. So you see the heart of Jonathan here. He's not worried about his father saying your kingdom is a threat, is threatened by David. He is worried about his friend, and he's ashamed by the actions and the behaviors of his father. So Jonathan goes to the field where David is hiding, and he shoots arrows as they had planned earlier on how to deliver the news of what his father's response was. So he shoots the arrows and tells his armor bearer, the arrows are beyond you. So they had come up with a secret code that if Jonathan had said the arrows are near you, take them, that meant that the news was good, David could come back. But if he said the arrows are beyond you, it meant that the news is bad and that David had to leave and flee for his life. So verse 41 says, and as soon as the lead had gone, David arose out of a place towards the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept with another until David exceeded. You see, two friends that greatly loved one another. When David got the message that the arrows are beyond you, he knew what it meant. So they began to cry, they began to weep, because they had an understanding somehow that this might really be the last time they see each other. And it turned out to be so. Verse 42, and Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for such as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between thy seed and thy seed forever. Excuse me. And he rose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. You see here, Jonathan again emphasizes the third time the covenant between him and David. And not just him, but his seed, the seed of Jonathan and the seed of David forever. Here is a young man who understood the power of covenant that secured generations after him. Now let's look at five lessons that we draw from 1 Samuel chapter 20. Lesson number one, have friends you can depend on in the day of trouble. When David was in trouble, when he had fled to Ramah and King Saul had followed him there, he then ran to Jonathan to inform him. This was a friend he could count on in a time of need. Do you have true friends in your life that you can count on in the time of need? Friends that you can confide in, friend that you can depend upon, friend that you can call upon for help when you need help. Jonathan was such a friend. When David needed help, he knew to turn to Jonathan to help him and to assist him. But also he was a friend he could tell the truth, because you realize here that he was being threatened by the father of his friend. And if they were not really good friends, he would have feared to tell Jonathan. But because of their friendship, he was willing to open up and tell Jonathan the truth. You need to have one or two friends like that in your life. Lesson number two, discern a destiny friend that God has ordained for you. That's very important. Jonathan, even though he was a prince, son to a king, heir to the throne, he discerned in David someone who was a destiny friend. He discerned that their destinies were tied together. And the moment he descended, he covenanted with David. And then he went beyond just between them as friends, and he covenanted between the two houses, the house of Jonathan and the house of David. He went a step further and said, "Thy seed and my seed shall be in a covenant forever." That is destiny. When you find someone where your destiny is connected, you should connect with them and not leave, because God has joined you for a purpose. And Jonathan understood that, so he tied their destiny in a covenant and secured the future of his children's children's children. And what a blessing, what a discerning young man Jonathan was, and what a heart that he had. Lesson number three, think and prepare for generations after you. This follows from what we're looking at in lesson two, that Jonathan did not just secure a covenant for himself only, but he secured a covenant for his children and his children's children and generations after him. He was not just looking at himself. He was not selfish, but he was able to think into the posterity, those that were going to come after him. It is very important that whatever we do, we think about generations that are to come. The Bible says a righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So that's very important that you have that mindset to be able to foresee generations that will come after you. The Bible says of Abraham that when he tithed to Melchizedek, even Levi, who was four generations away, was still in his loins, also tithed to Melchizedek. So by that tithing, he secured the generations that were coming after him. The things that you do today can secure the generations that will come tomorrow. Lesson number four, develop strategies to prevail even in challenging seasons. You see here Jonathan and David coming up with strategies on how to discover the mind of the king and how to pass on the message without alerting anyone of what was going on. So they come up with a strategy that when the father asks where David was, they would say, "David has gone to Bethlehem." And they come up with a strategy of him to hide and how to pass on the message, whether it is good or it is bad. So it is in times of difficulties, in a pandemic like we are in now, in a dark season where you need divine strategies that will help you to survive in ministry, in business, your family, whatever you are doing, you need divine strategies that will help you to prevail and to overcome. Hallelujah. The last lesson is you need to develop wisdom to know when to move on. You see here David reached a place where he understood that it was now time to leave the palace and go somewhere else. He had been serving King Saul faithfully, even after King Saul had tried to kill him twice before. He had remained in service. But this time it had gotten to a place where Saul was really now determined to make sure that David dies. And David, because of wisdom, now knew that he could no longer survive in this atmosphere. He could no longer function well in this atmosphere. And what he did was to seek advice from his friend so that when he leaves well and he leaves with a blessing. And as he left, he was blessed of Jonathan. Jonathan spoke a blessing upon him and he says, "Go in peace and the Lord be with thee." Hallelujah. So there's a place you must know when to move ahead. There's a place you must know when to move on, and it takes wisdom for you to understand that season in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lesson. We thank you for the wisdom. We thank you for the insight and the revelation. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you help us to discern destiny friends, destiny people that you bring in our lives, that will help us to align with our destiny, that we make wise decisions, that we make decisions that are led of the Holy Spirit. As Jonathan had wisdom and discernment, may we have the same wisdom and discernment
In the name of Jesus, we pray for the heart of Jonathan, a heart of a true friend, that God, you may give us such a heart. We pray for the wisdom, oh God, to have divine strategies, even in a time of difficulty and challenges, that we may have strategies to overcome, to prevail, and to survive. In the mighty name of Jesus, may you release those divine strategies unto your children. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Let's connect again next week as we move on to lesson number 3 of chapter number 2. As we look at David fleeing to Gath, he enters into enemy territory, and what a blessing it will be. God bless you.
Thank you for listening and following the lesson on the study of the life of David. For more Bible lessons, follow Reverend I.T. Matura on his podcast at innocentmatura.podbean.com.